All right, let's read a few verses here. Let's read from something from the book of Hermas. And that's First Hermas's vision there, chapter 1. As a workman bringing forth his work, offers it to whomsoever he pleases, so shall you by teaching every day what is just cut off a great sin. Okay, so according as we walk in our priesthood, we also cut off a great sin. We cut off the power of sin by faith in Jesus Christ. The power of sin has to do with that kingdom of darkness. Okay, Satan's kingdom is sin. God's kingdom is righteousness. His kingdom is Jesus Christ. And we cut off the power of sin by Jesus Christ as we walk in his priesthood. So you labor to cut off hunger, so by study you cut off sin. Okay, that's out of First Hermas's vision there, if you want to look that up or make a note on that. Chapter 1, verse 24. Here's another one. First Hermas's vision, chapter 2. Okay, and it's about 15 days later there, he begins to write these things. Now the writing was this. He says, "Your seed, O Hermas, has sinned against the Lord and have betrayed their parents through the great wickedness, and they have been called betrayers of their parents, and have gone on in their treachery." This is concerning the church. Okay, those the assembly have betrayed the original pattern tradition. In fact, we'll be talking more about that. So they're called the betrayers of the parents. Okay, or those they begin coming against the stewardship, okay, of the apostles. And it is like in Revelation chapter 2, unto the angel of the church of Thyatira, here we see it concerning Jezebel. Now they have added lewdness to their sins, as it says there in Thyatira. I'll cast them into a bed and then will commit adultery with them in the great tribulation. So you can see the parallel as Thyatira and also as concerning Hermas's vision. Now they have added lewdness to their other sins and the pollutions, okay, of their naughtiness. Thus have they filled the measure up of their iniquities. And that's what it also says in Revelation chapter 2. I gave her space to repent. She didn't. But do you upbraid your sons with all these words and your wife, which is your sister, in your priesthood, and let her learn to refrain her tongue, which she calumniates, or to charge falsely. And that's what they were doing with the Apostle John, as we read in Third John. Okay, as concerning Diotrephes was speaking against the chief elder and Apostle John, and he wasn't content with that, and neither did he receive the brethren, but cast them out. Well, here's another one, and again on a First Hermas's vision, chapter 2. And he's telling them to say this to the church, to those that are over the church. The Lord has sworn by his glory. And of course, we're going to be talking more about that, about the glory of the Lord. For the Lord has sworn by his glory concerning his elect, having determined this very time that if any one of you shall now sin, he shall not be saved. Of course, we know sin against the kingdom. Okay, those that be joined to Satan's kingdom are also joined with Jezebel, as well as also working with the doctrine of Balaam, okay, as well as also the teachings and the deeds of the Nicolaitans. And then he says he shall not be saved. Being saved, which has to do with departing from those things. How can you be saved in those things of sin? We're saved by departing out of those things. Okay, for the repentance of the righteous has its end. Okay, those who are walking in the priesthood are now bringing to conclusion that power. Okay, for the day of repentance are fulfilled to all the saints. But to the heathen, okay, their repentance is even until last day. Okay, which means they're trying to rectify themselves or bring restitution. Okay, all the way to the time of their departure from this dimension. So the repentance of the heathen are always repenting. That's because of the state of the conscience being defiled. They're trying to bring the equity through bartering. They're trying to barter with God. Started here. Those just coming in, we just warmed up here a little bit, reading a few verses, selected verses there out of the book of Hermas. Okay, now we're going to be in the book of Thessalonians. So we're in 2 Thessalonians. We're picking up where we left off. And we're in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Hey, again, the Apostle Paul is bringing to the attention of the saints there in Thessalonica, okay, regarding their responsibility of the priesthood, Okay, and observing the government, we'll be talking about that as we read on. The commandments which we command you, he says that in verse 6. The government, the truth, the spirit, prayer, preaching, prophecy, the gifts, the callings, and the graces of God. Okay, and here he's talking about the responsibility upholding the stewardship through their prayers and vice versa. Even Jesus himself prayed for his apostles. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which you have given me. We'll explore more into that when we turn to the Gospel of John chapter 17 today. Okay, finally, brethren, pray for us. See that in verse 1. Okay, and so in verse 1, he says, pray for us. And by doing such things, look at verse 3, the Lord is faithful who shall establish you. So we see an exchange here. You carry the burden, responsibility of your priesthood, and in reciprocation of that, the Lord also sustains you. It's the reciprocation, the giving, the sowing, and the reaping. Okay, and here, and look at verse 5. Okay, we'll be starting there in verse 5 there. The Lord direct your hearts into love of God. As you see in the illustration there on Facebook, okay, Jesus is giving directions. He's pointing. Okay, direct your hearts into love of God, which has to do, okay, the charity which preserves us. Okay, the charity which establishes us and strengthens us. The anointing always directs you to the source. And the anointing directs you to the source. We even have found pictures or illustrations of that, animals following an orb. And the angel of that particular species is leading him to the sources, the source of food or the source of water, in order to sustain them. Okay, also the angel will lead them also to the point of their death. Okay, because they also have an appointed time, okay, of their birth and of their death. And also they have the appointed time of their services for mankind or for Adamites, as the beasts of the field were created, okay, to be in subjection to Adam and to be a source for him, a source of food, as well as also a source or point of contact. In that first covenant, the beasts of the field, the cattle of a thousand hills there were a resource for the purpose of the altar of the temple. Okay, and the Lord also has given us abundance, okay, of these resources of his throne for the altar of our soul. Okay, so Lord, direct your hearts. Stay the anointing here. You can highlight the word direct there with your highlighter. So pick up your highlighter and underline the word direct. Okay, because this is your wisdom. The Spirit will direct you in this manner. Wisdom is in the anointing. Because we know wisdom itself, wisdom, understanding, okay, and knowledge, okay, are the powers of grace. Okay, grace contains these powers. Okay, and the anointing of his grace continually gives us direction. It sustains us. It sets order, rightly dividing the word. Okay, so we see wisdom is setting order, rightly dividing the word, and also has to do with accumulation of knowledge. Through our studying of this knowledge here, we are increasing and abounding, okay, in his sanctification and belief of the truth. Okay, and of course, this is what the Apostle Paul brings out here and is emphasizing in his letter to the Thessalonians. Okay, so you're doing those things which we command you. See, anointing is given wisdom. The anointing is given understanding. The anointing is giving knowledge, wisdom, knowledge, and spiritual understanding. Okay, so Lord, direct your hearts. And what? And things which we command you. We command you. The things which Jesus was sharing with his apostles were the things which the anointing would draw from. And this is what Jesus tells them about. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, okay, he will teach you these things. He will bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said to you. That is to the stewards, to the apostles. Jesus was not speaking in generalities. Okay, or to the common people. Okay, he was saying these things to his stewards, to his apostles, okay, which were carrying on that tradition which the anointing would draw from. And the anointing drawing from these things which Jesus shared with him, okay, we can see in chapter 1 of the book of Acts, that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto us, the apostles. Okay, and we command you. This is the policy which the Spirit is unfolding for you at this time. And we can see the progression of these things in the book of Acts. The Spirit directed them to one point and then redirected them at another point. From that which was just to the Jews became an open door to the the Gentiles. Okay, as the Apostle Paul also received his direction. Okay, when he saw a vision, okay, of those in Macedonia saying, come over unto us, which they interpret that point of time, okay, that indeed the Lord had opened a door into Greece, okay, in Mesopotamia. But the revelation of the opening door to Gentiles was given the chief elder, okay, chief elder and apostle Peter, okay, whereas he had that vision upon the housetop, on top of the housetop. As he was praying and interceding at that point in time, he fell into a trance. Okay, in that state of trance, he had this vision, okay, of a sheet which was let down from heaven. And when he had opened it, okay, when it was open, it was full of all unclean beasts. And we can see the typology of these beasts described in the books of Enoch. Enoch also saw the multitudes of the Gentiles in descriptions of animals. Okay, the donkeys, okay, as concerning the children of Edom, or the wolves as concerning like that which is also considered like the Philistines, or the Egyptians, okay, or those of Persia as concerning the leopards. Okay, the leopards, the lions, the bears. Okay, you can see all the typologies were given these things, even the book of Daniel. Okay, the typologies are being expressed as concerning, okay, the Gog and Magog and the beast. Okay, the beast and these people. Okay, the people like Alexander the Great, or during the times of around the 5th century BC, concerning the wars from the 5th century to the 3rd century BC there, of Persia against Greece. Whereas you have the history of the 300 Spartans, okay, in the Battle of Marathon. Okay, these are just kind of examples of that. And Alexander the Great emerging from that, invading Persia. And also, it was the rabbis that point out to Alexander the Great that he was elected of God for the purpose of this conquering. He rewarded them at that time and calling many cities after his own name. Okay, so that gives you an example of these things. Okay, so the Lord direct your hearts, even as he directed the apostle, chief elder Peter, to open the door of Gentiles, and also the apostle Paul, indeed understanding that the gate or the door also included the witches in Greece. So, Lord, direct your hearts into the love of God. Okay, this is the divine charity of fire. The divine charity of fire. These were things which Jesus was also sharing with his apostles. I have kept them in thy name. I kept them in thy name. And Jesus was referencing himself. Thy name. I kept them in thy name. I'm referencing myself. The tokens which were sanctified, these things which were agreed upon before the foundation of the world, have been disclosed and shared with those of this dimension, the dimensions of these waters, for which I am come into this world to be the mediator of this redemption, and also to provide tokens of life in this dimension of death, tokens of life in this dimension of death. Through the choices of will, the rewards would be given to each Adamite, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Okay, so he goes on, and the Lord direct your hearts, as you pray, keeping these commandments, disordered activity, into the love of God, which has to do with the sharing of this divine charity, which he's governing our destiny by. Our Father is governing our destiny according to the distribution of these gifts, which is the fullness of Christ. Okay, so through this distribution and through the expression of your charity and reciprocation, okay, your fruit bearing becomes increased in abundance and abounds. Okay, and abounds. How do you know that? Because you're abounding in all wisdom and knowledge and understanding. This mystery is being unfolded to you, even as you sleep. Okay, the circumcision of the Spirit is continually working within you. Okay, he's creating and building his kingdom within you. Okay, he's removing those things which you built with, the things which you constructed through ignorance in a kingdom of darkness, is being removed by the kingdom of light, the circumcision of the Spirit in the kingdom of light. He's removing these things through your cycles of growth. Okay, so the Lord has intended to do these things in order to keep you tethered to him. As long as you're hungry, you will continually coming to the source. But he that is full, okay, even that which is sweet is bitter to them. So the Lord keeps us within that state. The state of need, this is where you learn his fear. Because the fear of the Lord is your strength. Okay? The fear of the Lord is your wisdom. We know that he is our only source of sustaining our faith. And so therefore we keep coming to this source. we keep coming to the lake. Okay, you could say a fisherman comes to the lake to fish for the purpose of bringing in the food. Okay, we can see that in the illustration, the allegory of the apostles. The Lord elected to use the fishermen, okay, for an allegory for the church, that through this form of comparison, okay, we will continue to go to the source. And we know that we understand that Jesus is the source that brings the fish into the net and drawing it to land. Okay, we continue to make these distinctions, receiving the good, casting the bad away. Okay, so on numerous, more than one occasion, our Lord, Jesus Christ, gave this allegory to his apostles to teach to the church regarding this tethering, the divine tethering for the substance, okay, and sustenance. Okay, the sustenance of his gifts is the food which we dine on, the manna from heaven. Okay, so the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. As you keep his commandments and you continue to pray, he shall establish you and keep you from evil. He shall establish you and keep you from evil. That has to do with your cycles of growth. Okay, the evil has to do with the knowledge of this world. The knowledge of this world is evil. So why is it evil? Because it doesn't give you faith. Okay, the good gives faith. The evil gives you doubt. Okay, doubt, double-mindedness, and sedition. So the evil knowledge of this world doesn't produce faith because it doesn't bring you into covenant. The evil knowledge is selfish. Okay, it's self-referencing. It's independent from God. It's severed from the tethering of the throne. But the soul of the wicked is sustained through the tokens for the aspiration. That's what seducing spirits work with. Seducing spirits works with ignorance and the tokens of this world. Okay, the tokens of this world. You can read about that. The numerous tokens of this world. Okay, you can read about that in Revelation chapter 18. Okay, in Revelation chapter 18, the mother of harlots. And that system and the sustaining of the system is with earthly things. In a moment of time, everything that was being sustained by the earthly things is wiped away by the judgments of God. And that's why the shipmen, those which are in ships, the sailors and the seamen, will weep and howl, for the destruction came suddenly upon her. Okay, everything that they invested with in here was now wiped away. So we can see that the earthly tokens, these things are given definition or makeover. They're given definition and makeover by seducing spirits. Okay, which we can see came out of the mouth of the first beast and the false prophet and the dragon in chapter 13, 14 there in the book of Revelation. So the Spirit of the Lord directs us into those things which are good to establish you and keep you from evil. Okay, the evil, the knowledge of this world works sin. It doesn't direct you into his name. Okay, the knowledge of the world does not direct you in his name because it's Antichrist. Okay, and Chief Elder and Apostle John writes about that concerning the spirit of Antichrist. It's been mentioned 5 to 6 times there in his epistle, 1 John. You see how the Chief Elder was emphasizing the counterfeit, okay, and providing the contrast, what to avoid and what to embrace. Okay, and he talks about that. But the anointing which you have received of him abides in you. Okay, the anointing which you have received of him abides in you. And you need not that any man teach you. Because now the anointing is directing you into the tokens of his government. Okay, Chief Elder John is writing to those under his stewardship. Okay, when he says this, now you need not that any man teach you, because the anointing now is directing you now within his kingdom. The government, the truth, and the spirit. Okay, it is truth and is no lie. Government, truth, spirit, prayer, preaching, prophecy, the gifts, the callings, and the graces of God. Okay, we see that in 1 John chapter 2, we see 20 and 27, concerning that anointing. But the anointing, okay, which you have received of him, abides in you, and need not that any man teach you, because I'm instructing you, and the anointing is confirming that. The anointing is giving witness and regarding these things. The anointing is giving witness regarding these things. How is he doing that? With dreams and with visions. His visitations with his gifts, the crown of peace which you put upon his head because you embraced the truth. Okay, it's called the Comforter, okay, as Jesus spoke of. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, okay, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I said unto you. And we can see how that played out, not only in the book of Acts, but also in the epistles, because Chief Elder and Apostle John wrote about that, about the recall, total recall. Okay, was given by the Spirit. So, Lord, direct your hearts into love of God, the charity that sustains us. He's governing our destiny through our charity. So the more you sow to his kingdom, the understanding increases. It's just the same thing. The more you put in your crops, the greater the estate or land that you have. Okay, the greater the expanse of land, also the more opportunity to sow. So the more you sow, the more you grow. Okay, and then there's another thing here. Highlight this now, the patient waiting for Christ. The patient waiting for Christ, now the word patient there has to do with the enduring of the passage of time. The enduring of the passage of time. Same thing with long suffering. We can see these virtues being played out in your sowing of charity. Okay, in your sowing of charity. Charity now is a distributing factor and power for all these other virtues to be born within you. Okay, including your faith. Okay, we see that love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and patience. Okay, we can see that these virtues are born within you through your priesthood of charity. So this is here, the patient waiting for Christ. This is when he comes to reward your faith. When does he do that? Well, he can do it any time of his choosing. Okay, but even when you're in a trance of sleep, the Lord visits. Okay, the Lord visits you. The Lord rewards your efforts. You're laboring through the day. Okay, the laborer is worthy of his reward. As the Lord said, the laborer is worthy of his reward. I will reward you, I promise. I will reward you. Okay, I'll seal within your heart and within your soul a token and gift. And this will be played out, okay, as you continue to sow into my kingdom. As you sow to the kingdom of God, that which he has sealed within you is played out. You can see these things played out even in nature itself. You can see how the Lord sows in nature. He gives the rain. And every time he gives your vegetation the rain, okay, that vegetation reciprocates. It increases with the increase of God. You can see it played out in nature. You can see it played out, okay, in wildlife. If you observe, you can say if your dog just had puppies or your cat just had kittens, you can observe these powers at work within them. From the time that they're born to the time that they're opening their eyes to the time they begin to stagger about to the time they are weaned from to the solids and when they begin also to discover their environment. You can see how the functional spirits and these powers begin to work within them, bringing them from one stage to the next stage, to the next stage, and to the next stage, to the point where they depart from their parent. They become independent and then self-sustaining. It's played out in nature. It's played out in Adamites. It's the same thing. From the time of his birth, from there to the infancy, the adolescent to the adult. Okay? It's played out in that. You can see it played out also in your spiritual life. Okay, the Apostle John brings it to our attention. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Okay, that is, you have now you began to comprehend the understanding of departing from Satan's kingdom, that you're no longer here savoring the things which you took joy in when you're in ignorance, the things that you rejoiced in, okay, when you're in ignorance and in darkness, okay, when you savor the things of death. Okay, you're beginning to understand the proper value of the tokens of Christ. I write to you, young men, because you overcome the wicked one. I write to you, fathers, because you have known the Father. Okay, so you can see how the apostle and chief elder John, okay, brought the church's understanding through their maturity through his stewardship, through the stewardship and their priesthood. So that's the patient waiting for Christ. The apostle Paul experienced these things and is penning these things to those of Thessalonica. Okay, he's sharing his experience with them as I'm sharing my experiences with you. As concerning the progression of growth, the progression of the house of God, the progression of your priesthood, the progression of this knowledge. Okay, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding is continually unfolding. Now, look at verse 6 here. Okay, now we command you. Cite the word command. And the word command here again is that the Apostle Paul is issuing forth an ordered activity. We apostles set before you this ordered activity. The ordered activity to be preserved in his name. To be preserved in his name. Hide the word name there in verse 6, because we'll be jumping over there here in a moment. You're preserved in his name. We see that in John chapter 17. Jesus was talking about how he preserved them in thy name. I kept them in thy name. Now, when Jesus is talking about thy name, he wasn't talking about how it's properly pronounced. Okay? And of course, many religious sects there have also adopted certain pronunciations for their expression, the Yeshua, Yahweh, Jehovah, all these particular names, Elohim. Okay, they feel that by pronunciation of Jehovah Jireh, okay, that a certain virtue will be rubbed off on them. Some anointing would just suddenly manifest. Obviously, and that's pretty evident, it didn't. Yeah, that's why they're still stuck in the rut of that ignorance. Because the anointing, okay, which they thought they had, was not pointing them into the stewardship, okay, of that which God has sanctified, but rather into the derision and the illusions there of the false religious system. Okay, now we command you, so everybody should have highlighted that by now. Now we apostles command you, okay, as concerning setting this order. Brethren, in the name, highlight the word name there, of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not in the name of Moses, but in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not in the name of Jehovah, but in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. When he says the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's in references to his record, the gifts of his record, that which Jesus provided for us, which Chief Elder and Apostle Peter spoke about in Acts chapter 1. Okay, must one be a witness with us? Okay, what do you mean one be a witness with us? That means that the Spirit will attend upon this pattern, beginning from his baptism to his ascension, must one be witness with us. The anointing, the Holy Ghost, will assist them by this divine pattern of suffering and grace, of suffering and grace, water and fire, suffering of the water and the peace of his grace, fire, the peace of grace. These things came into a completed form there, okay, at Jesus' water baptism, when he was dipped in water, and at the same time, the fire of the Holy Ghost came on him. Water and fire. Okay, flesh and spirit. Flesh and spirit, that's his name. Jesus, okay, which was a name announced about him by the angel. His name should be called Jesus, okay, and Emmanuel, concerning God with us. God with us. God will manifest himself in our form for the purpose of our redemption. Okay, in the name of Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. The seal of his ownership is put within his name. Okay, we bear that seal now. Okay, we bear that seal now. The seal of the name of his ownership is in you by the gifts that you have received in the priesthood which you're functioning in. That's your wisdom. Okay, that makes you wise unto your salvation, which the Apostle Paul talked about, making you wise unto salvation. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, okay, that you withdraw yourselves, not from the stewardship, but from every brother that walks disorderly. Okay, disorderly, which means refuses the stewardship, as Diotrephes in 3 John. Okay, or also Hymenaeus and Alexander there in Timothy. We see the Apostle Paul named those which possess corrupt theology. Okay, Phygellus and Hermogenes, Hymenaeus and Philetus, okay, as well as Hymenaeus and Alexander there, and also 1 Timothy 1:20. Okay, that, of course, that's your next book to be getting into, is in Timothy, 1 Timothy. So the Apostle Paul names names there for the purpose of showing those which were untethered from the stewardship. Those which are untethered from the stewardship, they have their anchor cut. Now we can see the Apostle Jude talked about that. Okay, woe unto them. He says, these are spots in your feasts of charity. Okay, Hymenaeus and Alexander, Philetus, okay, and Hermogenes. Okay, these, he says, are spots in your feasts of charity. They're claiming to represent the kingdom of God, but they're unsanctified. They're untethered from the stewardship. They're untethered from the priesthood. They're untethered from God. Okay, they are adrift. And this is what he talks about. They went to the way of Cain, adrift. Okay, ran greedily after the heir Balaam. He went adrift and also followed gainsaying of Kori. He went adrift from Moses. Okay, went adrift also from Adam. Okay, as well as Balaam resisted the stewardship of Moses in his competition. Okay, Balaam had a false priesthood. Instead of assisting Moses, as Aaron did, okay, Balaam resisted Moses by providing options. He provided options against the stewardship and the priesthood of Moses. He said these are spots. Why are they spots? Because they're contaminated with death, the flesh of death. Okay, they're contaminated with the flesh of death. They're carnal-minded. Okay, so these are spots, and they're philosophical spots here. They're ruined in faith. These are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you. Okay, that means they're, when he says here when he feasts with you, he's not talking about necessarily right in the assembly. He's talking about those which also had their own churches. Okay, they had their own churches. Diotrephes did the same thing. He started his own church. Okay, you see this also in the Revelation chapter 2 and 3. Okay, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus. Now the seven churches of Asia were being addressed by the chief elder and stewardship of Apostle John, who received the revelations there in regarding the discrepancies that crept in through the doctrine and deeds of Nicolaitans, particularly the doctrine of Balaam. Okay, the doctrine of Balaam there he talks about, which we just mentioned here. And also Jezebel, the teachings of Jezebel, she was severed from the stewardship. Okay, and that's why he says, unless you repent, if you don't repent, I'm going to remove a candlestick from you, which has to do with the stewardship. Okay, without the guidance and oversight of that anointing through the stewardship, okay, you're going to be walking in darkness. I'm going to take my candlestick out of the place. Okay, you have no direction now. Okay, you'll go from bad to worse. Okay, and then, of course, he talks about the types of purging which they go through, but also those which endure to the end. You have a few names, even of Sardis, which have what? Not defiled their garments. They have not defiled their garments. They shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. There be a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. So we can see that the contrast was given. The vision also was manifested. The vision was manifested. Okay, but those which remained with the stewardship, they had garments of white. Well, let's look at spots here. I'm just talking about spots here for a minute because we're going to be jumping over there to John chapter 17. These are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. That is, without fear of the of lack or detection. Clouds air with water carried by the winds, which has to do with the breath of demons. Carried about with winds, trees whose fruit withered. Okay, the efforts of their endeavor, you say, of trying to be a fruit bearer, they were overcame, okay, by the things of this world, evil knowledge. Okay, so therefore they had spoiled fruit. Okay, the fruit that they have was full of worms. They were the evil figs there, the prophet. Prophets bring that out. They're so evil they cannot be eaten. Okay, bad figs. So they carry about of winds, trees whose fruit withered without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, and then raging waves of the sea. Okay, foaming out their own shame, which has to do with death. Things which were not tethered, okay, were then washed ashore, as also the ships. Okay, to whom, and wandering stars. Look at all these types which the Apostle Jude here is giving as concerning the typologies of these things, to whom there is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Okay, the depths of ignorance. Okay, the depths of, they're claiming to be of the light, yet they have the depths of ignorance. Now, Jesus said the same thing. He says, you're of your father, the devil, and his works you do. But then again, the Apostle Jude reverts back to stewardship. Enoch also. He reverts back to stewardship. Okay, now let's jump over to the Gospel of John. Okay, and in the Gospel of John, we see about his name. Okay, and we're going to start around verse 6. So we're in the Gospel of John right now. And we're going to start around verse 6 here. I manifested thy name. Okay, I manifested thy name unto the men, which you gave me out of the world. Okay, so I like the word name there, because you'll see we run across that quite a few times. It also mentions about the world. Okay, so he's giving contrast between that which is of that which is born of light and of the Father, and that which is born of the flesh and Satan. Okay, that which is of the waters, and that which is of the fire. Okay, so Jesus is giving contrast. This is what his whole ministry was. okay, and providing a contrast of kingdoms. And that's why Jesus began his ministry to talk about, behold, the kingdom of God is among you. The kingdom of God is here. I and my Father are one. So he's, again, showing the tethering, the divine tethering, the sanctification of his stewardship, okay, and the contrast between these two kingdoms. I have manifested your name unto the men which you gave me out of the world, their name which has to do with the tokens of your kingdom. Well, what tokens of his kingdom Jesus manifest, which was called his name, that he was manifesting himself. Himself. I'm your point of contact, Jesus was saying to them. I'm your point of contact. Okay, the anointing which was within me, Jesus saying, the anointing which is with me, okay, that is that same anointing which has empowered you to what? Cast out devils, to heal the sick, and to raise the dead. These were the power tokens which my Father gave to me. These were his name in me. I kept them in thy name. Okay, and by these things they are one. Okay, they're one with me. They're one with you. I manifested your name to the men which you gave me out of the world. Okay, those which were numbered in the Father's bosom, okay, as I promised in the bosom, to those which consented to this, has now been fulfilled, that which I have spoken of. My personal presence in this dimension is to preserve this knowledge, okay, for faith, for salvation, and for reward. I manifest your name unto the men which you gave me out of the world. Okay, those that you gave me I have kept. None of them is lost, but the son of perdition. Okay, we'll be seeing about that down here. Out of the world. Yours they were in the Father, in your bosom, and you gave them to me. That's for here. I've gathered them together in this dimension, and I've kept them in thy word. This is the knowledge I have spoken to them. Okay, that which the Spirit has illuminated within their conscience. The Spirit illuminated this in their conscience. Okay, but then I'm going to seal it within that conscience. I'm going to send them another comforter, which is established upon better promises, okay, which far exceeds that which is of the soil. Okay, this is my Father's house I'm talking about. Okay, you gave them me, and I have kept them in thy word. So I have the word there, so you have the word and name. Okay, this is the knowledge which I have spoken. Okay, the sanctified knowledge which I have shared with them. Okay, they partook of this bread and they drank of this wine. Me. By saying these things, they have now total recall. That point of illumination, they remember that. They remember that. The same thing which the Spirit disclosed to me. Okay, a recall, a total recall of remembering that time in the Father's bosom. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are of you. They have known that. Now that means that I have laid out for them plainly, okay, giving them illustrations. I gave them many illustrations concerning the weaving of this kingdom, okay, why my presence is here, and the weaving of this kingdom, like light and darkness, okay, light and darkness, water and fire, spirit and flesh, of how these things were necessary, the bonding of these things, the hostility that existed, and the bonding that will now be fulfilled by my physical death and my physical resurrection. Okay, and so he goes on here. Now they have known, because the anointing is now building their understanding, they have known that all things whatsoever you have given me are of you. That has to do with this glory, the glory which you have given me. Okay, that's just the seed. That's just the seed. The glory which you have given me is just the seed. But there's something that's greater that's going to be coming. The promise, the goal, the baptism of light. Jesus was sharing with them is concerning himself being that seed. Okay, when he spoke of himself, saying, unless a grain of seed falls into the soil and dies, it remains alone. It remains alone. Now he's speaking of the Father. Okay, it remains alone. It remains restricted and unproductive. It remains restricted and unproductive. But my Father, okay, has a great plan laid out for you. That seed, which is restricted and unproductive, is going to be effectually made alive. The Spirit's going to make this alive within your conscience, within your heart, and then within your spirit, your soul, and your body. Okay, it's going to make this alive. Okay, to the point where the seed is going to turn into a tree. The tree is going to be as a fruitful vine. As a fruitful vine, the seed is going to bring forth many fruits. Many fruits, because the tree is greater than its parent. The seed, the tree is greater than the seed that produced it. Okay, and that's why Jesus made the illustration when he says, my Father is greater than I. Okay, my Father is greater than I. But I and my Father are one. So how can you be one and have him be greater than you? Because this is part of the mystery. Because I am God. I am come in the flesh. This is the dimension I created for myself. I'm moving in the orb of my own creation, but just in a form, okay, that can communicate to you, a form of the flesh. In this dimension of time, which I created. I created a dimension within a dimension. Okay, an orb within an orb. Now these are things which would be fully disclosed to us, okay, upon our entering into the baptism of light. These would be mysteries which would be shared with us, which the prophet Enoch talked about, which was shared with him by our Father, and regarding, okay, that which of the things to come. Okay, and Enoch saw that. And he says, I saw my place there, okay, underneath the wings of his throne. I desired that place, but it was at this point in time, I wasn't prepared to enter into it. Okay, Enoch talked about that. Let's go to verse 8 here. Okay, this is the record. I have given unto them the words which you gave me. Where did he give them those words? In the Father's bosom. These were the things which were discussed in the bosom of our Father and were fully disclosed in this dimension of the waters. Dimension of the Father is that which is a fire and light. Dimension of the water, that which is darkness. That which is darkness and death. It's pretty evident in this dimension is the darkness, the dimension of death, because everywhere you look is a testimony of death. Everywhere you see, everything you hear, okay, it's death and a death. That the dimension was created for that one purpose, okay, that we would not trust in ourselves, that we would not look unto the world for our hope. And our Father made sure of that. Okay, our Father made sure of that, that we would not find hope within this dimension. In order for us not to find hope in this dimension, he had a set of power in this dimension to remove everything. Okay, and Jesus set time in this dimension. He put rust and moths and thieves in this dimension. Okay, and this is what he talks about. If you want your treasures to be sustained and remain protected, all right, it has to be in the proper kingdom where moth can't corrupt, where rust won't diminish its value, and where thief can't break through and steal. For I've given unto them your words, which a thief can't take. Okay, these are the powers of knowledge, which you gave me, which is in the bosom. They have received them in this dimension, the power of this knowledge, and they have known. See what it does? It lays out to the conscience here. You have made known or unlocked these to the conscience, and they have known surely that they came out from you. See the word out from? Okay, it's the same thing. Well, as Eve was removed from Adam and then brought back to him, so I came in this dimension to be brought back to my Father, but with increase. The church is to be received back to the Father with increase. Okay, as the holy city. The holy city is that divine pattern. Okay, the holy city is the divine pattern, okay, which our soul will reflect. Okay, concerning the tree that bears 12 manner of fruit, the river of water, okay, that proceeds out from the throne, the living waters that proceed out from the throne of God. Okay, the tree of life is on either side of that, which shows it's the bridge and completion of it. Okay, so we see all things there, water and fire, spirit and flesh, right there within the holy city, New Jerusalem. Okay, this is a reflection of our cycles of growth now. It's a reflection of our cycles of growth now. So we reflect that perfectly by faith in Jesus Christ. Because Abraham is our father of faith, isn't he? Abraham's our father of faith. Okay, and we as children of Abraham reflect that which he looked forward to. Well, what did he look forward to? For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham had a proper perspective. Okay, not of this world, but of the other world. So Abraham did not put roots down here. Okay, he did not look for a city here. Right? He did not look for the honor of man or the things of this world or the accumulation of things. But our Father did provide him with these things for the purpose of preserving him. Okay, our Father provided the food, he provided the protection. Okay, he provided the covenant, okay, for his protection, a shield. Okay, so that through these things, that which the Spirit revealed would be sustained in this dimension, regardless of the contradiction. I kept them your name, in this dimension. Okay, so let's read on here. They surely know that I came out from you, and that they have believed that you did send me. that God was manifest in the flesh. Okay, Paul explained that there, Timothy. God was manifest in the flesh, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on the world, received up into glory. From lowness to greatness, from suffering to glory. Okay, I pray for them. You see, this is what Paul's talking about. Okay, the stewardship, I pray for you, you pray for me. By this equity, you increase. That's your responsibility. By this equity, you increase. If you want to increase with the increase of God to the fullness and stature of Christ, you have to bear the responsibility of your priesthood. If you neglect that, you neglect your own self. You neglect your salvation. I pray for them. I pray not for the world. When he says, I don't pray for the world, it has to do with the aspirations of the world. Okay, the world only seeks to the unto God in order to, for their aspirations to be sustained. That's all. That's why the sinners created idols. They created idols to look to, you could say, the intervention of the imagination. They want that kind of intervention to sustain their imagination, to sustain their aspiration, to lend support to the principle. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which you have given me. These consenters, okay, these consenters of this time, just like the consenters from the foundation of the world. Okay, God already knows the total number of them. He already knows that. What's unfolding even at this time is only to our Father is only reruns. It's only reruns. Okay, he saw the movie already. He knows what the end of the movie is because he produced and directed it. He wrote it, he produced it, he directed it. Our Father already knows what the conclusion is. Okay, is that we don't know because we are put within a time frame of this dimension. Okay, in order to fulfill it at this one portion. But our understanding will be increased, okay, just like Abraham. Abraham saw, okay, thousands of years in the future when he's taken in the spirit. Okay, Enoch saw the conclusion and the baptism of light and beyond. Okay, the chief elder John also saw the events that were unfolding at his time of the first century, as well as thousands of years in the future and beyond, Revelation chapter 1, chapter 22. Beyond that, I saw a new heavens and new earth. That's beyond. Okay, so we can see these are just reruns. John was watching the movie. The Apostle G. Feller and Apostle John saw the movie there. So he says, I saw the movie. I saw the conclusion of it. I saw how things are going to play out. I saw the beast. I saw the mother of harlots. I saw, okay, the Antichrist man there. I saw all these things. He wrote it down. I saw this. I heard and I saw. I heard and I saw. I heard and I saw. Okay, he was sitting in the theater like a virtual reality there and observing all these things which were playing out. All right, well, let's go on here. So he says, I pray for them. Now, verse 10, and all mine are yours and yours are mine. This was the things which are agreed upon in the Father's bosom. All mine. Okay, that means, okay, until once again I entered the crystal sea of this baptism with all the souls full of light. Okay, all mine are yours and yours are mine. And I am glorified in them. Oh, there's that word is very interesting, the word glorified there. Okay, because it talks about the increase of his kingdom will be with no boundaries, boundless. Okay, without boundaries to conclude this power in the souls. Okay, to conclude the powers, these powers in the soul, which were engrafted here, right now, okay, in a new priesthood. Okay, a new priesthood which will bond water and water and blood. Be bonding water and blood, water and fire. Okay, and this is what he says. There are three that bear witness and record. The Father, the Word, and Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Okay, so we can see that everything was set out. And say it's like reverse technology. Okay, you have a conclusion. You have a pie. Okay, you have a pie. It's all done. Okay, and so he says, now let me show you how I made this. So the Lord takes the pie and reduces it down to its basic elements. Okay, flour, water, sugar, salt, okay, and ingredients put into it. And the ingredients which you put in the pie, the filling of the pie. Okay, and also the temperature of the oven. Well, that wasn't enough. How about the timing of the oven? See, all these things are necessary. Okay, in order to produce this product. Now, the Lord says, I have put these elements within the dimensions of the waters in order to be played out, so that the end product is going to be what my Father would delight in. You have saved a good wine until now. Okay, that's an example. So you have a good wine till now. The Spirit will create the pending results. This is the goal. This is the promise. And this is what he's working in you to accomplish. Okay, so this is what we talk about glorified in them. Okay, and now I'm no more in the world. Okay, well, of course, the Lord's Spirit is still down here, and the Lord physically visits down this dimension. We know that. I'm no more in the world. That's here on earth. But these are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father. Keep to your own name those whom you've given me, that they may be one as we are. That's the goal. They may be one. All the elements will come to conclusion and fulfillment. A finished work. A finished work. And then the Lord will say, taste and see, the Lord is good. A taste and see, the Lord is good. All right, let's go back here to verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those that you gave me, I kept, and none was lost, but the son of perdition. Okay, the protester. This protester was selected. Okay, for the purpose of the contrast. In order what? To teach my other apostles, the consenters, to teach them as concerning that Antichrist spirit. Jesus was teaching about the Antichrist spirit. How things of the Antichrist spirit will be agreeable to a certain point, but then take it into the direction of the aspiration as Judas Iscariot in his death. Okay, and then he goes on here. Now come I to you. These things I speak in the world. I speak in the world. That which I promised in my Father's bosom, I have now made full disclosure of it in this dimension for 3.5 years. I established the pattern of my record for their sake of their faith, and that by the appointment of their stewardship, they will carry this divine tradition, which we'll be reading about in Thessalonians here. By this divine tradition, it will preserve the faith of the righteous, which will embrace these things and allow this knowledge to gain root within them so that they can also bear much fruit outwardly in all things, in word and in deed. And now come I to you, he says in verse 13. Now come I to you, I have completed this record. Completing this record, I'm going to seal it in my blood. The seal in my blood, I'm going to also oversee it. This new covenant, I will oversee it. Okay, and all those that prophesy of these things will be saved. We prophesy of Christ. Okay, the testimony of Jesus is spirit prophecy, and prophesying is what we do with our charity. We prophesy his love. Now come I to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. We see the word joy there. Okay, the word joy there again has to do with it's going to come to fruition. Okay, the witness of the record will be found in them for peace and rest and abound in my kingdom. That these consenters will be the first fruits, okay, of this knowledge. Right, get your sacrifices ready here. Okay, I've given them your word. Okay, when he's given the word, he's not talking about it's concerning a syllable, okay, of that word or a vowel of that word. He says word here has to do with full knowledge. Okay, I issue forth the apostles to preach this full knowledge in this recall. All right, and to replace the letter of the protesters. The protesters despise my plan. And to replace the letter of the protesters, which their logic is offended by the anointing. The anointing offends their logic because their logic is rooted, the protesters' logic is rooted, okay, within the struggle of their guilt. The struggle of their guilt, okay, is built within the conscience, and they're trying to find equity by the law of Moses. They're trying to find equity by the law. They're trying to find the equity by carnal things. I have given unto them their word, and the world hated them, because they are not of the world. Because for the anointing will not give witness to the aspiration. Okay, and this will offend unconverted, offend their zeal. The unconverted believer will feel offended because their zeal will not be accepted. Okay, their evangelism will not be accepted. All their efforts will not be accepted. The size of their churches will not be accepted. The size of their evangelistic programs or how big their tent is doesn't matter. How many people are in their congregation does not matter. They will be offended at the anointing. Because the anointing is that which sustains the faith of the righteous. Okay? And the faith of the righteous is not looking for the approval of the world, its numbers, nor its honor. Okay? It never has, and it never will. So he says here, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil. There's the word evil again, which has to do with not to drown in the false knowledge of this world. Okay, let's jump back to Thessalonians and let's get ready to close here. Okay, let's read verse 6 again, because we talked about this tradition. Now we apostles command you, brethren, there, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We talked about that. that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walks disorderly, which refuses the stewardship and begins to embrace this evil knowledge, false knowledge. And not after the traditions. We highlight the word tradition there, okay, which is the true pattern of this covenant. Our tradition is a true pattern of this covenant, okay, which you received of us, which has to do with the stewardship. Those which are disorderly are lawless to stewardship. They're riotous to stewardship. They're offended at stewardship. Those which are riotous and offended at stewardship, they want the power of self-determination. They feel that by exploring and looking into these things that they can somehow or another arrive at the conclusions which would be beneficial for the state of their conscience, but that won't happen. It hasn't happened and won't happen. So they deny the stewardship. And who else denies stewardship? Satan. And that's why Jesus says, you're of your father, the devil. Okay, the Pharisees and the Sadducees deny Jesus' stewardship and his claims of who he was. Not just a prophet, okay, but also a new priesthood, and Messiah. A new point of contact for a new covenant. A new priesthood. Okay, not that which is ordered after Aaron and Moses. Okay, but a new priesthood, which is ordered after the order of Melchizedek. Okay, and that which is ordered after Melchizedek is what Jesus established in himself. Okay, that's why Melchizedek was given as an allegory. A real person existed called Melchizedek. And you'll see him. Okay, he also will be manifested again. As he was manifested to Abraham, Melchizedek will be manifested again, even during the millennial reign. Okay, you'll see him, but he's an allegory of who Jesus' ministry is all about, even as what God is doing today, okay, is concerning the church. The church itself is an allegory and symbolic of what he is actually doing physically and openly, okay, with the Holy City, New Jerusalem. It's physical and it's open, okay, but we're also living under that shadow and pattern. The pattern tradition which saves us, which is after the order of Melchizedek.
All those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, you have to begin to seek God. You're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset. And you're going to have to seek Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay, if you want to come in covenant with God. Okay, well, thank you for listening today. Continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek Him out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Ehrsick here speaking. Have a good day, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.